Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right, this is a bonus episode of the podcast because there's much less rugby going on and we are the only rugby podcast committed to bringing you an episode 52 weeks of the year. For nearly 10 years as well at that. So, what we're going to do now is we're going to give you a little sneaky peek behind the curtain at what goes on our Patreon, patreon.com/eggchasers, where you can support the podcast if you appreciate what we do and you want to show that appreciation and, more importantly, get a bit of extra content. This is an episode that we recorded immediately after the last episode, which for the last few days has been exclusive to our Patreon listeners and is the kind of thing you can get more of if you come and support us there. So with that, on we go.
Surprise record.
Right, here we are.
There you go.
Here we go. Let's continue the conversation we were just having on the podcast in relation to American TV shows and how they drink. Another observation is, and do you ever do this where you just get in from a day at work and you go to the fridge and get a beer, just one beer?
No, I don't.
No.
I don't. So, a couple of reasons why. I used to love, when I finished working as a waiter, I used to love having a bottle of Peroni. I used to love it. And another time, when I went through a real fitness kick through the summer, I had 48 cans of neck oil in my basement in the fridge. And I crack open, usually a can a night, sometimes two cans a night. And then it dawned on me, I'm not losing any weight here because what is a can of neck oil? Like 300 calories. It's probably a lot. It's about 110 calories per can. The cost is immense. So I actually do not touch a drop of alcohol unless I'm drinking. I'm either completely dry or I am basically like a Finnish builder on a Friday.
I went through this horrible period during lockdown one, and I rarely used to drink at home, and now I drink a bit more than I should do. But during lockdown one, I have this horrible period where I wanted to drink, but I only really wanted to be drunk. So
yes.
I was drinking like 9% craft IPAs, but kind of doing it on an empty stomach or like just to get the hit of the alcohol.
Yeah.
Wow, God, that's dark.
That is dark.
Okay, nutter.
It was a bit dark.
When
you look back, you think, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have been doing
Yeah, well,
that.
When you look back, I hate myself for what I did for about 3 weeks before I finally snapped out of the trance that I was in. Unfortunately,
This was your ketamine phase, wasn't it? Remember, yeah, we talked about this upstairs.
No, the trance that I was in for about two and a half weeks before I realised it was all bullshit, is at the end of a day, because it was that red hot summer as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a red hot summer, and I was working from home, so I used to make the same joke every day. I'd come down one flight of stairs and go, honey, I'm home, or whatever. Like, just fucking ridiculous. Anyway, then we'd have a gin and tonic with the daily briefing.
Oh yeah,
and I did that. I did that for 2.5 weeks, and then went, oh, I'm not watching this shit anymore.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. God, you forget. Yeah, so like my dad had my brother living. So my mum and my dad had my brother and his fiancée living with them over lockdown because they were about to buy a house and yada yada yada. And they got in the same habit of having gin and tonics every night, from a non-drinking household to drinking all of the time. But I've gone the other way. What I realised about lockdown is I actually like drinking with people. That's why I like doing it. But to Phil's point,
yeah,
I used to work with a guy who was in the army. Brilliant guy. He used to be in the artillery, then moved over to be in an IFA. And he's one of these guys from the Oldham area, full of... If you met him, you wouldn't think he's a particularly serious guy, but you listen to him, he's full of good wisdom. And he once told me, he said, be very careful of whiskey. So one thing you need to respect, whiskey. Because I told him I'm going through a phase of, I just want to quite get into whiskey. I remember driving home from I didn't know, back to Manchester, thinking, do you know what I'd love right now? I'd love a whiskey. And then the other part of my brain went, no, this is exactly what he's talking about. When you're craving a whiskey on the way home, there's no more whiskey for you, none at all. So since then, no more whiskey.
Whiskey is very much like the quintessential, something bad has happened to someone in an American movie or a TV show.
They
walk on their own into a bar, double whiskey on the rocks.
Do you ever just, like, be honest, right? Do you ever, if you're on your own and there's no one around watching and you've just got a little bit of drink left in your glass, whether it's whiskey or whether it's just a bit of lemonade, do you do the drink it like you're in an American movie?
Well, the bam, bam!
No, the way they do that face, they pull that little face, they knock it back and then they do that exaggerated face.
I've never understood the idea of drinking after a bad day. I mean, that would be the last time that I want to drink. I want to drink if I'm having a good day. So, yeah, I've got an odd relationship.
But you're right. But American movies, if you take that drinking, now, and actually, particularly in the West Coast of America, my experience of Los Angeles, I've got some friends that live out there, and we went out, and people think you're mad if you have more than one glass of wine.
I'm not sure if that's true. I mean, I think it is true in some areas.
It is true in some
areas.
And
then areas. There's a real drinking culture in other areas.
Yeah.
I think there's a massive, like, divide. I went out
with my mate that's out there, and he's Canadian, but he's living in LA. We stayed with him for a few days. Went out with him and some friends of theirs that are local, and the friend just, we got like a second bottle of wine. There were six of us, got a second bottle of wine, and the guy just went, oh my god, this is the most wine I've had in years.
was it like a Gillette advert? Dude, not okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this whole conversation so far is the toxic rugby drinking culture in action, isn't
it? Yeah, well, hang on a minute. What's the most ridiculous American drinking scene that you've ever seen? Because
it's every single university party or college party school party. They're all the same. The red cups, kegs of beer appear from everywhere.
Keg party, standard.
And
who buys
people... Like, no spare floor space, and people stood all up the stairs, all in the foyer, or not foyer, but the entrance hall.
We had a party like that, right?
Genuinely been to a party like that?
No word of a lie, right? We had a party in Manchester, right, which would rank... Do you know they do these adverts, and the filter they film them through is all like summer haze? And we had a party on a roof in Chorlton. And the roof was not meant to be accessible to the public. So Phil was not there at this time. And there must have been about nine of us. And the reason it started is because Friday night, everyone wanted to have a beer when we were in our mid-20s. My friends had moved into this flat. And then this flat, the windows looked over the flat roofs of all the takeaways on, is it Wilbraham Road?
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then in the next flat had moved in a bunch of girls, like four girls, and they had about 10 of their mates around. So it just degenerated into this awesome party on these flat roofs.
I thought when you first said it, just degenerated into this I thought you were going to say orgy.
It's like midsummer. It was brilliant.
Great.
No, so the most ridiculous drinking scene. Have you ever seen American Sniper?
No.
Why, my words. American Sniper is about American hero Chris Kyle. And the scene is, he's at a bar and he meets a girl. And to break the ice with this girl, he orders two shots. I'm going to say they're tequila, but I don't know what they actually are. I think they are tequila. He's two shots tequila. And they pour two shots. So he just commands the guy, leave the bottle. And then the game is, you ask me a question. If I can't answer it, I'll neck a shot. Then I'll ask you a question. And if you can't answer it, you neck a shot. Or was it...
Can't or won't answer it.
No, it might be, if you want to ask me a question, neck a shot, and if I want to ask you a question, neck a shot. They must have gone through, like, I don't know, seven shots in that scene? But I can't imagine playing that out. Just leave the bottle there. First conversation, leave the bottle there? Mm. Fine.
I like that.
Yeah. Maybe that'll be the new Egg Chasers game. You want to ask us a question, shot first.
One of the most ridiculous American drinking scenes that I've seen in real life, IRL, was JB when we went to watch Saracens
v. Oh, I was about to talk about this.
Newcastle.
This is incredible.
We might be talking
about Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philly.
Yeah, in Philadelphia, there was lots of incredible things. But the stadium was out of Philadelphia.
Mm.
And there were some ridiculous things in Philadelphia this weekend, but the stadium was out of Philadelphia, and it's about, I don't know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes in an Uber. And we got to this stadium and all the parking lots were kind of empty because it wasn't entirely full. And a lot of people had got, would travel over and not driven, but there was one portion of the parking lot that was full of the Bayonne Bombers boys who were boozing. They were tailgating. They were just about the only people in the whole stadium. And it's not the most...
Westchester's one of the most dangerous places in America.
Yes. Yeah. It's like...
Is it Westchester or is it just Chester?
I can't remember the name of the place, so you know more than me about that. But it was like industry. So there's like warehouses and factories, and then some kind of like slum houses, basically.
Yeah.
And it was a bit dicey, but...
It was where... what's the character in Always Sunny that they gradually...
Oh, Cricket.
Cricket. It's where you'd find Cricket in Always Sunny.
So the state... I thought Phil was going to tell you a different story, right? So this is the ludicrous bit.
I like the fact we tied it ever so slightly to rugby as well, is good.
This is really rugby inside knowledge now. So we get into the stadium, and the precursor to the main event is American students playing Oxford University.
Yeah, Oxford or Cambridge? Oxford.
I won't say Oxford. And Andy Sewell was playing, if you remember him.
Yeah.
Don Waldock was playing. Coach Wade was coaching, who used to coach me at Broughton Park for a couple of sessions. So they're obviously students, right? These guys could not get a wristband to have a beer because it's an American stadium. So they've played the sport in front of the crowd. They've come off. The American students definitely can't get a wristband, and some of the Oxford lads can't get a wristband. So they're watching this game dry, and unsurprisingly, they decide to just disappear off. We obviously do have wristbands, and we're filling up on Sierra Nevada beers. We're really going to town. And then we get the invite. Do you want to come to the Premiership party? Straight after, it's in XYZ Irish Bar. In the middle of Philadelphia, like, yeah, of course we do. And do you know who we travel back with? Nick Mullins.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so we had this awesome taxi ride back with Nick Mullins to get changed to go to the Premiership party. So that was, this is like the absolute highlight now. Anyway, we get changed, we go to the Irish bar, and as we walk into the Irish bar, there's a cacophony of noise. And it is the Oxford University students who are bored with not being able to drink at the stadium. They've all gone back and they've gone on Premiership Rugby's dime and started drinking the tab that Premiership Rugby have left behind the bar. And they're now standing, all of them singing their university rugby songs. And even though they're Oxford, they are a university rugby team. There's no denying this. Anyway, but the Premiership Rugby come in with their sponsors, who it might have been Gallagher at the time, I don't know, go to the bar, no tab left. Oxford University had drunk the entire tab, the entire corporate hospitality budget for Premiership Rugby in about 90 minutes.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was a sight to behold.
Yeah, that was awesome. And that was the night when Kieran Longbottom, Bosch and Scout Berger were propping up the bar drinking. They were propping up the bar drinking double whiskies.
Yep. Just there. What were they watching? Boxing or something?
Yeah.
Three guys on a bar from all around the world shooting the shit over three whiskies.
Some proper, three proper alpha males from different parts of the world.
Tell you what, Kieran Longbottom is a lovely, lovely man. Because, of course, he played at Sale too. And I was regaling him of how much I enjoyed his Sale time, which he loved, because I don't suppose Kieran Longbottom got that much love for his Sale days. But I thought he's a very good player.
Yeah. It was good fun, and that the taxi ride back with Nick One of my favorite things that's happened to me in my whole time doing the podcast was we were chatting away in the back of the taxi, telling a few stories. Nick was on great form, and in my head, I'm thinking, I can't believe I'm sat in a taxi chatting away to Nick Mullins. And Nick actually said out loud, I can't believe I'm in a taxi chatting away to Phil from the Egg Cheese podcast. I was like, stop it, Nick. Stop it.
He says something amazing. He says something like, yeah, I was asked to commentate on diving because he's done a range of sports, tennis obviously being one,
yeah.
Rugby. He's diving. So diving's really easy. So if it's a good dive, you go, splash. Brilliant. If it's a bad one, you go, splash, splash. Not so good. Not so good. And then he said that's just it. That's all you do.
I love the video, by the way, that's been doing the rounds of him calling the final moment of the Premiership final.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's awesome. Absolutely awesome. It's great to see. Great to see him dress so smartly. Love his tie combination as well.
I'm sure that's an MCC tie, that.
Probably. He is a man of...
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Distinction.
Absolutely.
Yeah, some good rugby drinking stories there, which wasn't what we were going to talk about.
No, but we need. But it's just making me hanker for
a whiskey,
some tier two action, and a whiskey.
Yeah, true.
So we'll definitely. I'm not sure if the fixtures have been announced yet, but we'll definitely sort out a tier two tour for autumn this year
if the World Economic Forum allows us to fly.
We'll go by boat.
I have one.
Yeah, now you're talking.
I have one.
No laws off land.
I think I can get to Ireland on my boat. I legitimately think I could get to Dublin on my boat.
Mate, if you would even, I would have unbelievable, untold levels of respect just for even untying your boat and heading off with that intention. Because that, I cannot imagine, I would be bricking it.
Yeah, I'd be bricking it. I'm sure I could do it. I'm sure. I mean, it's a big boat. It's like 34 foot. So it could do it. It's got two engines in it. It'd be fine.
Would you? Would you be first mate, Phil, if you did?
I'd be on it. I'd be wearing a life preserver.
The thing is, there's no.
I'd be on it.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think that's any guarantee that like a life preserver. I don't think that's it. If you fall in the sea in the middle of the Irish Sea, you're dead, mate.
Yeah, it's not safe. But actually. Ireland to Wales, it's not that far. Once you're on the tip of the Peninsula.
How long does it take to go from, was it Holyhead to...
It'd take me longer to sail along the coast to Cardiff than it would to go to Ireland. Much longer.
Is the Isle of Man in the middle? You can stop off there.
No, it's slightly to the north. So just going straight over. I can make that maybe for a... Because Dublin's got a harbour, I imagine. Dublin must have something.
Dublin and Belfast.
The Isle of Man question is always, or the old question is, which of the home nations is the Isle of Man closest to?
Yes. Hang on. So, yeah, if I was doing it for, like, a Leinster game in the semi-finals when the weather had calmed down, I'm pretty sure we could do that.
I'm going to guess that Isle of Man is closest to Scotland.
Yeah. It is closest to Scotland.
It is, yeah. So, if I was on the tip of Anglesey, I'm closer to Dublin than I am Manchester. Easy.
Yes.
Not a problem. 10 knots, it takes us all day, but we'll set off nice and early.
Tier 2 tour. If you could just like pick a Tier 2 tour location, JB, we haven't seen the fixtures yet, but or some sort of rugby excursion, what would you pick?
Spain or America again?
Yeah.
I mean, the reason I say... Go on, Phil.
I'd love to do East Coast of America for the Tier 2 tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason I say Spain or America is I just think saving the 8 hours of flying makes a huge difference to what you can get done.
Mm. And, yeah, and how feasible it is for people to come join us. But
yeah.
I think we could do both anyway. I would like to do... I know you're saying East Coast, Phil. I'd like to do Texas.
Ooh, yeah, I could do that.
Because there's three teams there now as well. So in terms of tax-deductible trips...
Exactly. You've always got to be thinking. I would say this, though. The autumn is an incredible opportunity to travel and see some rugby. So if you think about what we did for the repertoire, which was...
Again, Klaus Schwab.
Yeah, I mean, he won't be happy about this at all. That was right on the edge, wasn't it? Well, it'll be November, because, of course, it ties in nicely with the World Player of the Year event. Mm. So that might be... if you want to look at some really good Tier 2 nations... I think November might be a good shout. See who Spain's playing, see who Portugal is playing.
I wish there was a direct flight to Tbilisi, because I'd be all over that.
I would not. I'm not travelling.
The people that I've worked with on BT Sport that were there for the Under-20 World Cup just could not speak highly enough of Tbilisi.
Genuinely don't care. I genuinely don't care. I made a decision after getting pepper sprayed in Prague that I'm not going east again. And unless it's in for a damn good reason, the opportunity, if I've got a weekend away, I'm not going east. They're too comfortable with violence. And I'm pretty sure.
You're just intimidated by the men there, aren't they? Because they can deadlift more than you.
They can deadlift more than me. They're quite happy to pepper spray people. They're intensely violent. They're on the doorstep of Vladimir Putin. Like, every time we go east, bad things happen. I'm going to go west.
There was that one time in Bucharest. Do you remember when we got out of jail? We went into a bar and we were like, there's nobody in here. And then, except what, some very attractive girl who asked someone for, I can't remember which one of the group, asked, were you with me on this one?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. I think you might have been.
I've never even heard the jail. When did you go to jail?
No. So that went into this bar with, it was some of the guys from Worcester. Went into this bar with some of the guys from Worcester, and there was like, oh, this is weird. There's nobody in here. And then there was just this very attractive woman came over to one of the Worcester guys, and I asked, so buy me a drink. Oh. It was normal bar. It was like, it was not late at night. It was sort of early. It was like sort of 8 p.m., something like that. And then we just noticed the door in front of the door, this massive bouncer had just, like, this massive bloke had just stood in front of the door. And I said, do not order anything. We need to leave now.
Yes. Unfortunately,
we managed to just like, oh, sorry. Didn't mean to come in. We managed to sort of get out. But had they ordered a drink, well, I think we were screwed.
Have you ever been stung by the behind the bar menu?
No.
Classic. So do you want some drinks, boys? And you say, yeah, can we have... whatever it is, 3 beers, and they bring out the bar menu because you've not bought a dance because you don't know what the joint is. And, oh, yeah, here are the beers. It's like 50 quid a beer. Like, what? Yeah, well, here's the menu, lads.
You're not leaving until you give us.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah, it's an absolute scumbag game. Yeah. Absolute scumbag game.
Doesn't happen in Madrid.
It happens to be in Cyprus.
Did it?
That happens to be in Cyprus, yeah. I was like, oh, no, thank you. Yeah, so that's why I always say I'm not going east. It's just not worth my time.
Yeah, I'd do Portugal, Spain. I do Italy again. I'd like to go back to Rome again.
Yeah, that was good. It was very, very good.
That was very good. And it's practically tier two now, isn't it? Anyway, what are the other nations? Belgium, not interested.
Not
really.
Interested,
not happening enough. Amsterdam could be fun.
Could be fun. Never been.
Yeah,
I've never been.
Amsterdam, nice and cold as well. In November,
lots of beers, lots of fondue. Yeah. I actually quite like Belgium toasties, that kind of thing. There's a lot to be said for Belgium. Belgium? Oh no, I'm thinking of Belgium. You're thinking of Amsterdam. Yes.
Well, similar, very similar.
Yeah, similar. Same.
Same.
Germany? Oh, they're not in tier one, are they?
Tier two, though.
Tier two.
Tier two. Oh, no, as in they're not in tier two.
No, they've dropped down.
Are they? Are Germany in that one?
Don't know.
I think it all kind of classes as tier two, I think.
If it's not tier one, it's tier two. It's fine.
Well, if you've been in the Rugby Europe Nations Champion Cup Championship thing in the past 3 years, you're kind of tier two.
Although Germany don't play in one of their, they play in Cologne, is it? Which is all right, but it's not.
Got no idea.
It's not as good as Berlin. Like, I'd love to, if it was in Berlin, I'd be all over that.
I don't like Berlin.
Berlin or Munich.
Yeah, I've been once and like it.
I want to go to Berlin.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
I'm a massive history nerd.
I tell you what, Berlin is. I don't know what it is about it, but like they've got these. So some people love it. I don't think I got the best out of it by any stretch. So I'd be open to going again just on that basis.
Did you go in winter or summer, JB?
Winter. It was cold.
Because I hear. So I've only been in winter, and there was snow on the ground. I had a great time, but it was dark and cold, and everyone was a little bit miserable.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Whereas in summer, so Melt Festival is just outside Berlin, which is meant to be amazing. In summer, it's supposed to be a totally different city.
Really? That's interesting. So I can see why it does have some charm. The overwhelming thought I had is I am so glad that the evil of communism was defeated. Because you see some of the buildings that these people were expected to live in, like there's these massive white monoliths everywhere, which doesn't make any sense because monolith means one. But these huge buildings, like they can't have housed people there. And all the bars are sort of weirdly Cold War American themed bars. Which did you find this, Phil? Am I making this up?
No, there's a lot because of the war, because of Checkpoint Charlie,
yeah,
because of the history. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, if you were there for the history, I think you'd love it. And there is something to it which is quite cool, but I didn't like the nightlife one bit. Mm. Munich, on the other hand, that is dynamite. That is genuine dynamite.
Again, we went in the middle of summer, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And it was roasting.
Yeah, that is dynamite.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Ultimately, we need to play more rugby in Barcelona, and that's the end of that conversation.
Madrid, New York, that'd be good.
Yeah, be yeah. Good. Those sort of things.
Anyway, we'll get all that organised. Nice one for listening. Thank you for supporting the podcast, and you will be the first to know when the Tier 2 tour is happening because your support is making things possible.
Yeah. So, are we dedicating this episode to Ugo Monia?
Oh, bless him. Yeah.
So, I tell you what, he is on the pathway to becoming the most unpopular man in rugby while simultaneously becoming the most popular man in rugby boardrooms. And, you know, being popular with one set of men and women, Christ, he'd kill me for saying that, is not, and the others, it's just not the same thing. It's just not the same thing. But yeah, he would actually love all these trips, which is the irony. He would absolutely adore all of these trips.
Oh my God, he'd be instigator. He would be
putting scores on all our hands, right? We need him.
100%. And with that, let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.